Hello, hello, hello.
What up, what up, what up?
Welcome to The Plot Strikes Back.
Bum, bum, bum.
We're coming at you with a monster-sized movie review on Godzilla X Kong, A New Empire.
Yes. No pun intended, of course.
Yeah, never pun intended, but we just saw the movie about an hour ago. Well, rather, yes. Got out of the theaters about an hour ago. And are going to talk about it, convey our thoughts, and where the future might be headed to with the MonsterVerse and our beloved King Kong and Godzilla.
Yep. Love it. Love it. Love it.
So there will be spoilers in case you have not seen this movie yet, and I understand. If you get a chance to see it and you want to listen to this first, by all means, go right ahead. We won't stop you. We're just giving you fair warning, doing our part. But this is the fifth movie in the MonsterVerse franchise.
Yeah, it is.
And it's the second movie that has both Kong and Godzilla. And it's a direct sequel, of course, to Godzilla vs. Kong, the second movie by Adam Wingard, who did the previous movie Godzilla vs. Kong. So I think it's good when you have a director that, you know, did one movie and comes back to do a sequel.
It makes sense. Continuity is king.
Yeah, you know, and there's a couple things we'll get into in a moment that Adam Wingard did to tie in even another movie that he had no hand in creating, which was King Kong Skull Island.
Yep.
Or we just refer to it as Skull Island for short, but
love that movie.
And it's really fascinating to see more of the MonsterVerse sort of tie into each other and to learn a little bit more about the MonsterVerse, some lore, other monsters, and you know, and I think whenever you look at these particular films, you know, they're just, it literally says it's action sci-fi. It's all made up, obviously. And
yep.
You know, whenever you think about Godzilla, you know, from 1954, even, right? Like, he terrorized Japan. That was the whole thing. He would just destroy Japan time and time again. You know, cities would just get leveled. And I understand sometimes that gets overlooked in these movies because it's sort of like, you know, in this movie, you see Godzilla because he's on a war path because he knows something bad's happening. And he's just swimming in the rivers, and his giant dorsal blades are destroying these bridges.
Oh, you're forgetting the part where he jumped off a mountain
and just dove
into the ocean from one country and swam to the other country.
Yeah.
And then proceeded to swim up the Nile.
He was in Gibraltar and then swam to Egypt, through to Cairo.
Through the Nile. Yeah. Because Kong was at the pyramids.
Kong was in the pyramids, yep.
And whenever he jumped, I'm like, what?
I was like, what is he about to do? Oh, he's literally jumping off.
That did more destruction than that movie.
But, I mean, there was a lot of destruction in
He killed in several millions.
Cities. Well, he did, and then obviously
Scar King too.
When all four monsters were fighting in Brazil, Brazil got leveled. Yeah, they got a huge mess to clean up there in Brazil. But it's really interesting to look at some of the takeaways from this movie, because kind of like you were talking about, and the big focus of this plot is when Kong and Godzilla went their separate ways. The premise of the ending in GVK was what happened to Kong's ancestors, his family, the other apes.
Yep.
Because when he goes to that cavern where he finds the axe that was made out of
Godzilla's.
One of Godzilla's or another ancestor of Godzilla's, like, blades right from his back. He's like, oh, well, I don't know where everyone else is.
Just so, skulls everywhere.
Right, there's just skulls everywhere. And you hear the doctor, you know, from the human side in this movie.
Dr. Andrews?
Dr. Andrews, yeah. she is reading the tribal language, like it was like a storyboard essentially.
It's a history lesson. Yeah.
Yeah. You know. So
the hieroglyphs.
Yeah.
Carvings.
And what was the iwi?
Iwi. Iwi. Yep.
So, and again, when we look at the girl who has a unique energy understanding, not just because she's deaf, but that she was a tribe that was seemingly only found in native to Skull Island, and then she had this unique relationship with Kong.
Yep.
Because she could feel him, and then vice versa, which, you know, obviously it's all made up, and we can't really just totally make it seem like this is real life, like a
movie magic.
But I'll say this though. You see some people that deal with animals, you know, like how people can get super close to, you know, snakes or lions or bears or crocodiles, like,
yeah,
you know, and it's like, ah, dude, how can you do this? Because it all takes is 1 second.
They just got a knack.
Yeah, because you, like, they're not human. There's no real way of communicating with them. Even though they might sense like your energy, and that's sort of what Jaya, right? Her name?
I think so. Yeah,
I think she has this. Again, she's the last surviving member of the Iwi tribe, or so we thought.
Of Skull Island,
right? And once they find this place in Hollow Earth, it's like, well, there's no trapper. He's like he reminded me of, oh, what's his face? I can't think of the damn actor's name. Oh my gosh. He reminds me of he's like a British version of Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Except he was like the Monsterverse veterinarian.
Yeah.
Who like ripped out
Kong's tooth
and put a nice little,
got him a gauntlet.
Yeah. Got him some upgrades, and to have him say, you know, there's no moss on these steps, which is like, okay, well, that means these steps are frequently walked on because, yep, you know, moss can't grow on stuff that's just being utilized. So I have to say the human side in this movie didn't annoy me.
No.
Like they did in other movies.
No.
I think I appreciated their effectiveness.
It wasn't forced.
Right.
It all made sense.
It's like, okay, we need to help Kong. Okay, we need to figure this out. Okay, let's tag along. Let's see what this is like. Okay, we understand. Like, and it's not like they relied on them so much, but the only thing was, and the biggest help that they were able to figure out was, and again, we were talking about this beforehand, where Jaya is like the key to it all, but she didn't really know it. She was having like these visions, these dreams where it's like, I see these shapes. What do these shapes mean?
Yeah.
You know, where is it? And sure enough, we find that it's the Iwi tribe that is sort of hidden behind this biological material that Mothra has, I guess, shaped or helped create, because that's where, you know, the Queen of the Titans likes to, I don't know, hang reside. Out, I guess, or just reside. Yeah. So, and that was the other interesting thing. When you go back and think about King of the Monsters, the second movie, where Mothra
died,
hatches. Well, like she like hatches in, I forget what city it was, but she's there to help Godzilla against Ghidorah.
Yep.
But then she dies. But she just sort of like gives herself, like she kind of just
the dust,
like, yeah,
gives it to Godzilla, I think, right?
Yeah. It's like she just sort of like disintegrates into energy. So I always wondered at that part, I'm like, did she really die? Or, I mean, like, I guess she did, but somehow she was able to, like, come back or regenerate or something like that. Like, it's like, is that a different Mothra, or is that the same Mothra that we saw in King of the Monsters? That
I think it's like Mothra, right? But then, like, that version of Mothra hatched. This version of Mothra is,
it was like summoned.
It was almost summoned, yeah. You know what I mean? So I think it's, one Mothra, and it just kind of comes, they, you know, does its own thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they worshipped Mothra.
Jaya said it was like a temple for Mothra.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things I appreciate about this movie, again, kind of just thinking about other movies, was how much screen time we saw with a lot of different monsters. You know, we were saying how this movie felt more of, not really a tribute to Kong, but it definitely leaned more on Kong's stories.
It focused on Kong.
Like, it was a direct, again, I mean, and again, it makes sense that it's like, hey, here's Adam Wingard telling more of the story that he started to tell from Godzilla versus Kong, where he's finally back in Hollow Earth. Okay, so they even state there's 5% of
Hollow Earth mapped,
right? So it's like, dude, 95% is still a lot. And like, even we see at one point when, you know, Mini Kong is showing Kong where to go, it's like he gets this part, it's like, you know, subterranean Hollow Earth, like, you know, and it said like a thing like undisclosed location or unmapped or whatever. But and I think that's, it's kind of cool because it just shows what else is out there. Like, we got to see more creatures, you know, from the very beginning, where like there's like those weird birds or, you know, flying creatures that would electrocute any sort of prey
that got close.
Yeah. And then we saw, you know, giant sort of like sea snake that,
oh, that thing was crazy.
Kong fought that. He chopped its head off and threw it at the Mini Kong. And
then there was the giant crab slash
spider
with tentacles, mouth. Titan. And then there was the
Tiamat, which was cool.
Tiamat, which was like the dragon.
Yeah.
That thing was cool.
Yeah.
And I think the tree.
Yeah, we didn't really get to see of it, but the tree ate the little pilot. The pilot
that was
dude.
Weird.
That was... I mean, it was funny just to see Brian Tyree Henry's character, Bernie.
Oh, yeah.
He was, like, freaked out about it. I like him. I like his character. I mean, I think he's a good actor, too. But great in Bullet Train, too. Which,
oh, dude, honestly, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. He was great in Eternals, too, even though that was a bad movie.
Bad movie. But
Atlanta, too. Dude. He's fantastic in Atlanta.
Well, that's why
Paper Boy.
Yeah, well, that's why I first
that's
found
where
out
I first
about
saw
him,
too, yeah.
And so I'm glad, like, you know, I guess him as an actor is getting a lot of, like, recognition and being in big movies. But honestly, between... You don't have a lot of characters, you know, from the human side. You had Dr. Andrews, you had Bernie, you had Trapper, and then you had the kid.
Yeah, and then you had like a list of B-level characters that popped up throughout, but like, yeah, those were the main people, and that was it.
And I think that's a great formula where you don't have a lot of human actors in this, because like in Godzilla versus Kong, you had those same characters in it that were in this one, except for Trapper. I don't think he was in GVK.
I don't think he was.
But there were like one or two other, you know, people. But then you had like the spillover from King of the Monsters with Millie Bobby Brown's character and like her friend who stole the van of his like brother and like his, and then like her dad that was in the second one that was like working for Monarch, and like it was just so messy
it was really disjointed.
Yes. Yeah. And that was
this
my
was much better.
That was my problem with the second movie. I loved everything about Ghidorah and Godzilla and the other Titans that were involved with like Rodan and Mothra, but the moment you just had
it killed it.
Yeah, and I think this is a good comparison of saying, well, maybe Millie Bobby Brown's character was like, you know, the kid that tried to lure Ghidorah to Fenway Park and you know, things went to hell there, you know, it was her fault and she quote unquote helped save the day with her mother. And
who is Dr. Andrews? Right?
No.
I don't know. Her mother died.
Yeah, her mother died at the end.
Yeah.
But again, it was just like this. I know it's a little far fetched to be like a kid is the key to these, you know, no pun intended, but these big problems.
That seems to be their way out.
But yeah, and I feel like, yeah, it could be a little cheesy and to some degree, but I also think the way this one was like, you know, I mean, we can compare this to Star Wars with Anakin Skywalker being the chosen one.
Yeah.
And found as a kid who was a pod racer, you know? So very interesting to kind of see these weird childlike anomalies and how it can seemingly save the world.
Yeah.
Or at least aid the world, because it's like saying, well, what if the kid never made it there? Does that mean that Godzilla and King Kong would have just fought on the surface? And then, like, I don't know if Godzilla would have been able to stop both the Scar King and Shimo.
No way.
You know, so if he would have killed Kong.
That Scar King was gnarly.
You know, so yeah. So getting into the history lesson with who the Scar King is and who Shimo is and, you know, understanding more about Kong and even Godzilla, where Godzilla, you know, was on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Kong was in Hollow Earth. And like she even, and Dr. Andrews was saying that there was harmony. So like Dr. Andrews is telling us that Godzilla was on the surface, Kong was in the center in Hollow Earth, but that there was harmony among Hollow Earth and that there wasn't any issue until Scar King came along and he screwed everything up. And yeah. Godzilla was like, nah, I can't let you get to the surface, bud. So I'm going to collapse you all in here. But that also put Godzilla against the apes, and Kong's people were like, why are you doing this to us? And it's like, well, because your Scar King dude over here is a madman and he's insane in the membrane. So I can't let him up to the surface or we're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
You know, so it is really interesting. But I think for the sake of trying to wrap around when that took place, it's sort of like, how long were they trapped down there? That is the weird thing, because if, again, we go by this timeline wise, if humans aided in the evolution of Godzilla in the 50s, right? So they basically jacked up Godzilla.
Yeah.
So he was as formidable as he is today prior his gamma radiation form, but to the point where he was a smaller dude, but same thing. So was Kong, you know. Yeah. not every Kong is 300 feet tall, you know, they've got to be older to that point. You know, it's like Kong in Skull Island was 100 feet tall or something like that. So, you know, again, he was
young.
He was young. Yeah. So you're talking 40, 50 years later, you know, he's tripled in size, which is essentially the same thing that kind of happened to Godzilla. So, and I know it's like, might not be that important to be like, well, when did it happen? Just sort of like it happened. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, this is how it went down. Godzilla was the reason that they're there. So Godzilla feels something is wrong. And so his solution is, I gotta
juice up.
I gotta juice up, baby. I need them roids. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need them golden era bodybuilding roids.
Yep.
And charge up. And that's where, you know, unfortunately, Rome and Italy gets some damage.
Paris, or not Paris, France.
Well, then France gets.
He was absorbing.
He's straight up absorbing, which you've never seen him do.
Yeah, that was the first time I think you saw him do it.
Yeah. So he's just like sucking the radiation from this power plant.
Yep.
Which is funny because then they send all these drones out and he's just like, cool, here's like a huge shockwave. Kind of like we saw him do against Gojira when he was, you know,
melting everything
with just
Same thing happened here, because whenever he dove into the ocean at some point, it's all bubbling with radiation, and the pilot jet's like, hey, we can't get any closer. Like, he's dripping in radiation.
Yeah,
dude.
And the other thing, which was it was a cool effect when there was the fight and he finally charged up and he was shooting it. It just looked like it was going to absolutely evaporate whatever hit it. And, you know, I was low-key bummed that, we said this in the car range, we were driving back. I was like, man, I really wanted him to just blast Scar King with his radiation.
Atomic breath,
you know, or like, I don't know what you would really call it now. It was like gamma atomic radiated super blast, like, you know, because that thing was much more lethal than this normal breath, you know.
That thing was insane.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, his sort of like evolution happened pretty quick in the movie. But, you know, to think about, I don't know how much actual time passed by. But again, you can't make this movie 3 hours long.
No.
You know, it just, I think that's when it drags on and you just don't get a really good action movie at the end of the day. Because if you think about old action films, especially from the best era that action films thrived in, 80s and 90s, it's like, could you imagine a 3-hour Predator movie?
Could you imagine a 2-hour Predator movie?
Yeah. You know, because those work.
But, well, there's an unwritten, I mean, like music, obviously, you know, there's this unspoken flow. It has to make sense. It has to flow.
Yeah.
So, you know, these movies where the plots, this was definitely the most plot dense MonsterVerse movie since like the first one.
Yeah, I couldn't agree to that.
But it wasn't bad. But, you know, where you have something where there's not that, the plot's not that dense, you can't have it be that long because it's just going to be repetitive, right?
Yep.
So with this one, what was it, like an hour and 50 something minutes maybe?
Hour 55, but you figure, let's take away 5 minutes for trailers and stuff like that. Or, sorry, not trailers, but credits, so... I mean, yeah, it's just under 2 hours.
Yeah, so like an hour 45, it's like, it's perfect.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think for the sake of like what this movie is trying to accomplish, where you've got...
Simple plot.
You've got a very simple plot where it goes through the continuation of a five movie long saga
arc
yeah, where it starts in Skull Island, goes to Godzilla 2014, King of the Monsters, Godzilla versus Kong, and now Kong, Godzilla, a new empire, and yep. And thus that is the new empire, where it is back to the way things were. It's sort of like now we've got harmony again because Scar King is finally gone and
Shimu's free.
Shimu is free. Kong is now back with his you know, fellow apes in Hollow Earth. So it's like, unless some other Titan tries to, you know, step out of line, Godzilla is going to be like, hey, bud, I'm going to have to kill you. I'm going to have to rip you apart and shoot you with breath.
And, hey, bud, we got a problem, bud.
Yeah, it's like,
hey, guy.
I forget what the name of this Titan is called, but it looks like a giant, it's like a mountain, but it has like giant tusks. It almost looks like a woolly mammoth.
Yeah, you know? From
you see him at the end of
King of Monsters. Yeah. Yeah,
imagine like he's moving across this town. Godzilla's like, hey, but I'm gonna need you to stay put or I'm gonna blast right through you. Boom, 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 just blows a hole right through him. It's like, I told you, so And that's where I think things are pretty interesting, because, you know, there's a interference, there's a call for help. The call for help is answered. It's, you know, they figure out the, you know, keys to the missing puzzle here, and you've got, you know, a new enemy, which when we finally see Kong fight, which, well, before we get to the Kong versus Scar King fight, when we see Kong fight those other apes that try to ambush him.
Oh yeah.
And he just literally mops the floor with them. And little baby Kong that I was laughing. I don't know if you can hear me.
Oh my God,
yeah. Because he's swinging the baby Kong against the other Kongs.
As like a weapon.
Yeah, as a weapon. And then he just tosses him like a wet rag. And you know, he's like, let me help you to the one ape. And then the ape like grabs like this knife and tries to kill him. And he's like, really?
What?
Really? Jeez. Kicks. This is Hello Earth. Boom.
Kicks him off a cliff.
Kicks him off a cliff and just. And the one that's like trying to get away, and he throws this rock and just knocks him out or kills him. Like just like boom, dead. And it's like, yo, little Kong.
Take me to him.
You're going to show me who your leader is, or I'll just rip you in half right now. Which I have to say too, with Kong, like you see that he's grown more intelligent too with his survivability, where he's laying traps.
Yeah,
you know, and he's like, "Look, no one is really going to be down here to help me out, so I need to defend myself." So he's building traps, and like when he is on the run and wounded, and those other apes are like, "Oh, look, we can't step over that, or we can't trick that, so we have to step over it." And then it was up to, you know, little Kong to help make the trap,
yep.
You know, spring, of
help
course.
It go off.
But that reminded me of another movie where they were like, they were about to like hit like the trip wire, and so they don't, and they go over it, but then something happens and it still gets triggered.
Okay. I feel that could be.
I'll have to think about it, but
that could be so many different movies.
It's a particular movie. I know we've seen it, but I'll have to just wait and get to it later. But when Kong finally confronts the Scar King, you know, and you could just kind of see where Scar King's like making fun of his tooth, and it's just like mocking him, and it has like this laugh, right?
Oh, dude, he's just mean.
Yeah, like
he's a bully.
Yeah, he kind of reminded me a bit of, like, no pun intended, but like of Scar from The Lion King.
Yeah, I can see it.
You know, and because he had this sort of like, you know, this evil in nature. Like, I just want to rule.
Yeah, just
you know, this is my land.
I'm commanding all of you, kind of thing.
Yeah, and then obviously the fight against him was like, number one, dude is, you know, pretty acrobatic.
He's long, dude. He's nothing but limbs.
And you know, he was kind of choking out Kong at one point, but
yeah,
he you know gets like body slammed, and he's like, okay, cool. Like, you know what? It's time to unveil my pet.
Oh, dude, that was cool.
And it was funny because when the lava pulled away and you see Shima's eyes. Mira's like, what the hell is that? And I was like,
oh.
Yeah.
That was cool, though, he kept him or kept her.
Her, yeah.
Behind lava.
Yeah.
And then this massive,
like, chained up and, like, just
ugly
to see
looking freaking turtle. Freaking dumb, stupid.
I mean, like, she, the design of the face reminded me a bit, like an ankylosaurus.
It was interesting, yeah.
Dinosaur
I didn't
head.
Think she was the most beautiful monster I've ever seen in my entire life, but immense power.
Yeah,
obviously,
no.
From every step, you know.
And honestly, like, it's whenever you unveil a power creep character like that, you want to just know more about where the hell did Shimo come from? You know, is Shimo just one of the, like, the one and only of its kind? Were there other type of?
I need a whole history lesson of.
Yeah, because it's like, there's other apes, obviously. Where there's a lot of other you know, types of creatures that have a population of them. Like, where is the population of other Shimu relatives?
I wonder if it's because they're like, they're just the last
old,
yeah, you know, like, and that old, like they're the last.
Because as we find out, Shimu was the reason for the Ice Age.
For the Ice Age, yep.
So,
and we also think, well, at least I can confidently think that Shimu put Ghidorah, King Ghidorah, in the ice too.
Because you remember there's like the hieroglyphics where Godzilla was fighting, or it shows on like the carvings that Godzilla fought Ghidorah. Yep. So it's like saying, well, if Godzilla was that old, right, fighting Ghidorah as well, then it could have been a multi-titan battle where it's like, you know what, you need to be put away in ice.
Titans assemble.
Yeah. Until, because it's like Godzilla wasn't powerful enough at that time to defeat Ghidorah.
Yeah.
So the only thing to do was, hey, ice this bastard. Because it's almost like the same thing that happened when the crystal that Scar King was using to control Shimu, as soon as that was broken, it's like, you know, the spell is broken.
Yeah.
You know, you're free, Shimu, because you, like, even she like kind of shook her head like, oh, now I don't have to listen to it. But Godzilla, like, you know, yelled at her like, shoot him, you know, like freeze this
shoot
guy.
Now.
Do it now. Freeze him. And it's like, that's when she froze, and I knew it was going to happen. I'm like, oh, Kong's going to break this dude in half.
And?
Sure enough, just shatters him.
Dude.
That was so awesome. I'm not, like, that's why I wanted to see this movie.
Simple. Dude,
it's just
simple.
Pure action, man.
Just,
yeah, dude.
That's it.
You ever remember playing this game? It's an old game. It was out for the Super Nintendo, I believe. It was called King of the Monsters. Oh, dude. It's just, you were just monsters fighting across the city. It was great.
And the environments could be destroyed too?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I would imagine a remaster.
I almost
want to
try
it.
Yeah, dude, I would love that. I almost want to try and find that game on the emulator.
That'd be so cool.
If I do, I'll let you know. But so that was sort of another thought I had in the moment where in the theaters was like, okay, so if, I wonder if Godzilla knew about Shimu. And if he'd ever met, seen, interacted before, because again, it's brand new to us. It's brand new to this lore until we finally just heard about it for the first time. And it doesn't seem like she's a hostile creature.
No.
Because literally at the end of the movie, Kong is riding on the back of her for a moment, and then standing next to Mini Kong and her.
Yep.
And then they all kind of like, you know, roar because he's essentially freed the apes, you know, from being slavers and workers. So it's like, I think at the same time, I don't think Godzilla will try to mess with Kong because it's like, okay, now I got to fight you and Shimu. But I think too, because Mothra's back, Mothra's like the peace, you know, peacekeeper, or it's like, as they were fighting in Cairo, she shows up right as Godzilla's about to blast
Die.
His face. Like,
yep.
Kong would have been dead at that moment if Mothra did not show up.
Mothra's mom.
Yeah, pretty much. And Momthra.
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 Goes, that's enough. And he's like, oh, shit, dude. Like,
yeah,
dude,
go
stop,
to your
stop,
room.
Stop.
Yeah, and it was funny because then at that moment, Godzilla is just like, oh, okay, I understand now.
He's like, fine.
All right.
And then you get the...
Yeah, that little like... Yeah.
Little rocket.
Yeah.
And the Scar King's like, oh, dude, there's an outside world out there. And then, bam, you get...
Right as they were jumping at each other, and like, boom, gravity hits. The
up
thing
came
collides.
Down.
Yeah. And you're just fighting in the air.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
But, dude, it was Scar King riding Shimu there, breaking open the safety
safety
shield thing. Yeah. And then there are portals here.
Yeah.
And then you got Trapper coming through with the electro birds.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And Mothra is guarding like the gates.
Yeah.
And then they all just fall in.
Yeah. No, it was really convenient for them to, you know, again, plant that little seed in the beginning of the film where it's like, oh, you know, these birds have this unique capability. So I've got this wild idea to help us out. And again, it wild, sure, but it's not super far fetched in a fictionary world.
In this universe. You know, when they're in the middle of Earth. Sorry, Nick.
That's true.
When they're in Hollow Earth, you know, you kind of just got to aim for the fences.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's such a cool thing to see. I mean, I love all the monsters and obviously just a big Godzilla fan. And I mean, I am a fan of Kong as well.
Yeah.
And I do like that this...
Team Kong.
He got... Like, this movie is a little bit more of an ode to him, because if you look at it in the way of Godzilla had his own movie in 2014, then he, you know, obviously was in King of the Monsters, and then Kong only had Skull Island, you know, but Godzilla has also had, you know, quite a few appearances in the Monarch show as well, you know, up until the very end of season one. Where Kong's there.
You can't even say that.
Why? That's...
Let's just move on.
Which I don't know if they've even greenlit Monarch season two yet, but
two things. One, okay, since you already got me started. One, they need to absolutely greenlight a season two, because that was one of the best seasons of television ever. Two, all I want is to know how they captured Kong. That's it. And you're going to tease me with it. 45 seconds of footage for the very last shot of the very last episode at the end of the season? Come on. That's not fair.
I hate to break it to you, but they're still trying to figure out how they even did it.
That's the thing. They don't know, man. They wrote themselves into a corner and they can't get out.
They're like, okay,
call me, guys.
How do we do this?
I'll help you guys get out.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I think for... a continuation in the MonsterVerse. I'll put it to you this way. One of the things that we talked about, we appreciated a lot of Godzilla Minus One, was that the human element and the focus on the humans was compelling enough. But it was a different, and again, I think for the sake of what that movie was doing and about, is still different than what this movie is, because that was just like a beginning of Godzilla and its existence. And this is the fifth movie. So, or fourth Godzilla movie as well, I should say. But even if you just say, well, Godzilla 2014, still very different too. Although, like, you know, Serizawa, who was played by Ken Watanabe, had talked about, like, you know, the rumors and the stories about Godzilla from, you know, Japan during World War II era, right? So it's like, they're all true, you know? So it's, you know, sorry, Monarch, redacted everything. But now Monarch is like, it's still going, and it's still very much staying up with its secrets.
Yep.
Because, like, at one point they're like, we can't let the White House know about this, or something like that, or can't let this get to the White House. And it's like, you know, nor should you, because
King of Monsters ruins that, though.
It does, but I think at the same time, we're like, I don't know if they've developed something that would really destroy Godzilla. You know,
I don't really think so.
Like, sure, they could try to track him, but the same thing, like, you'd literally have to throw everything at him to kill him. But like, I think they know that the hydrogen bomb worked or was effective, but it's like getting it to him to that point where it actually would do damage to.
He's like a, it's like an alligator. He'll only die if he gets sick or dies of old age, I guess.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where it goes from here, because I could see it just all ending. Like, this is it.
That'd be cool.
And I'd be fine if this is like the end of the MonsterVerse. Like, that's fine.
Just give me another season of Monarch.
Yeah. I mean, if that's what they want to shift to, like, we're just going to stay within like the show realm and kind of fill in, you know, where the movies are up to this point. That's fine. You know, they could include the, you know, same, you know, movie actors if they wanted to or not, or just kind of keep it to the current actors, because, you know, they're not in any of the movies either, so it's sort of like what happens to them during these movie time periods too. But if they do bring in another movie, so there would be 6 movies overall, and they would kind of stop the saga at that point, where I think most sagas should have stopped. You know, not the SW saga.
What's that mean?
It's called Suck Wars.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Star Wars. Oh, okay.
Well, George Lucas's saga stopped after 6 movies, and that's...
Well, he did write...
He wrote treatments, but...
We'll count it.
They were never adapted.
But we'll count it, because we knew roughly what it was going to look like.
Well, the books tell those stories wonderfully.
To a T, though?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Those books are great.
Canonize it.
Should have.
Canonize it. Anyways.
I think for an ongoing or continuation of this MonsterVerse cinematic universe, I would like to see another big threat. You kind of have to, because it's like, okay, so now what? There's seemingly this harmony, as we've said already before, but what would sort of throw things into disarray again? You know, because I feel like what would happen is they would go, okay, so you know what? We've mapped more of Hollow Earth out. We're doing a lot of discovery, and we're taking things from Hollow Earth that's helping the surface world. You know, we're getting new understanding of physics, or we're getting new understandings of just, you know, different, you know, biological things that help out.
Well, like Dr. Andrews said, they were trying any excuse. Governments and corporations were trying every excuse to get control over the investigative stuff going on in Hollow Earth.
Right.
Which I forgot about until you were talking just now.
But Monarch has to. Monarch is like the protector, like where they have to protect, because, you know, to be honest, like I could see like another movie going two ways, where the governments are going stir crazy, and they're like, well, we want to know what's going down in Hollow Earth, you know, and Monarch is like, look, like we got this under control, like everyone has their speciality, their separate division. Ours is in the MonsterVerse. Ours is in Hollow Earth.
Let us worry about what we know.
Right, like we're best suited to do this, you know. But it's like saying, what happens if governments try to overthrow Monarch or shut it down? Or, you know, it's like you shut us down. Like, it's like, I think about it, obviously this would be in bigger terms, but think about the first Ghostbusters movie. It's like when this dude wanted to flip the switch and it releases all the ghosts into New York City again. It's like, boom, right? Like, okay, have fun. Don't come crying back to us when everything is gone to hell. You know, it's like, oh, you want to go into Hollow Earth and start doing all these things? Don't come to us when all these monsters start attacking. You know, and then once things are in disarray and there's no more harmony, Godzilla gets pissed on the surface and starts attacking governments again, like, you know, which would be, you know, kind of classic Godzilla. Like, Imagine him going to the White House and just, you know, nuking it. Boom, you know, blasting it. Or he goes to New York, or he goes to Japan, wherever it is, right? Which I think it would be kind of cool if this version of Godzilla went to Japan. I don't think Japan would stand a chance now.
No. Well, they do have their anti-Godzilla guns.
From Monarch. Sure. Let's see how effective those are.
Which begs into question, if you don't count when he attacked Japan versus Kong, did he ever attack Japan in that? You know what I mean? Like a classic Godzilla, did he ever go, oh, wait,
not
let me
tear
this shit up?
Monsterverse, no. Not in this Monsterverse. Not yet. So I would like to see that.
That'd be cool.
It would be. But I also think, again, maybe they could be part of it, part of like a new movie plot. But I think maybe if you include, again, I would want to see like another classic villain. Like, I think, you know, Ghidorah was obviously a classic villain. But I would like to see like Biollante or Destoroyah. Destoroyah is like a big name that I know a lot of people have talked about and bringing up.
I was always I don't know too much about Godzilla past Mothra and just very little about Destoroyah, but mostly Mechagodzilla. Like, that was my thing. I loved Mechagodzilla, which we got in the last one. So this one, it's...
I just thought of something, too, that could...
I don't know what other... You know, it would have to be a big threat that threatens both the top and the hollow earth and the surface. It'd have to be that big.
Well, they could go the Mecha King Ghidorah route as well. It's a cyborg.
God damn. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe. Depending on what they have.
Yeah, the lore behind this is it's not fully a mechanical robot, but a cyborg. It was built in the year 2204 around the comatose body of King Ghidorah after he was defeated by Godzilla in 1992. Mecha King Ghidorah was sent back to 1992 to battle Godzilla in Tokyo before he could destroy Japan and succeeded in halting his rampage and dumping him in the ocean. Though it was destroyed in the battle. So in Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2, the remains of Mecha King Ghidorah's mechanical middle head were salvaged by G-Force, who reverse engineered its technology in order to build Mechagodzilla. So, you know, I don't know. I suspected that that's what we were going to get in Godzilla versus Kong instead of Mechagodzilla. Because it's like, oh, they were using the head of Ghidorah. And I'm like, well, that would make sense for them to do Mecha Ghidorah. But they didn't do that. They were just like, we're going to go to Mechagodzilla.
Well, you know, as well. You got to think about it. Inflation, you know, you got to think about a budget. One head's probably a little bit cheaper than three.
But they had a bunch. Well, I mean, that budget was huge for GPK. It was higher than.
I was talking about the actual budget to build a. Mecha Godzilla versus a Mecha Ghidorah. You know what I mean?
What was it? Apex.
Apex. Yeah, they were building the eye, and the eye was huge.
Yeah,
it was the size of this room.
Yeah. No, I mean it's. Look, I think there could have there, I would have been bad if they did it, and obviously I don't mind the fact that we did get Mecha Godzilla. Like, obviously it worked out well enough.
I thought so.
Because like,
could have been a little bit better, but.
Yeah,
it was cool.
I mean, I thought we were going to get Mecha King Ghidorah instead of Mecha Godzilla, and then like well, this guy wants to get back at Godzilla, right? But they still like go, well, maybe we should just build a Mecha Godzilla just in case, you know? But yeah, what's done is done.
Yeah.
So I hope we get another movie. I'm sure this movie will do well in the long run because, I mean, at the time of us recording this, it's again, the budget was $135 million. Currently, again, it's only been in theaters for 2 days.
Yeah, if you count what a couple of showings on Thursday and then
yeah,
all day Friday, Saturday, today.
Yeah. So it's at $85 million so far. So what would you rate this?
You know, I like this movie a lot. I just, I felt like there was a lot of convenience in this movie. Not as much as other movies in the MonsterVerse saga.
Mm-hmm.
It was just how specific, like we were talking about on the car ride back. It was just like how specific they were.
Yeah.
Oh, they believe that the last Iwi from Skull Island is going to return and be the safe, the you know, the key to this puzzle. It's like, I mean,
some plot armor there, sure.
What?
Yeah.
So, but aside from that, you know, I loved Scar King. I thought Shimu was ugly. Just kidding. yeah, Scar King was just like, for me, the favorite part. Loved Kong. I didn't feel like there was too much Godzilla.
No,
Godzilla. You know, it was just him juicing up.
Yeah.
For the Olympia at the end.
Yeah.
You know, so, but with all of that, I liked it. So, you know, what would I give it? I gotta think. Give me a sec. I gotta. Still, it's still new.
In yeah.
The old, in the old brain up here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it like a. You know, the real question is, do I like it better than? I don't like it more than Skull Island.
Skull Island, your favorite out of them all?
That's my favorite MonsterVerse movie, just because I love Godzilla.
You mean King Kong?
Yes, sorry, King Kong. But out of all of my Godzilla movies, I like Godzilla 2014 the best.
Yeah,
and Skull Island the favorite, but I did love Godzilla versus Kong. I think this would be a little bit better than Godzilla versus Kong. Also, I'm thinking out loud now. So I'm gonna give this an 87.
Okay.
I'm gonna give this an 87.
I like a lot of the plot building and story building in Skull Island. And you know, you do see a couple other creatures in it, and obviously I think just from a human perspective, and you know, again, there were quite a bit of humans in that story as well, in that movie too. But you do learn more about Skull Island in its entirety. You learn more about Kong and Kong's people and so forth, his fellow ape family. And obviously, 2014 Godzilla was just a great, you know, reintroduction to Godzilla. And like, granted, you don't see him a lot in that film either. Not that that's a long film, but there's parts of that film that feels slow, and
definitely, you know, the first, I'm not going to say the first half, but the first portion of it, because, you know, most of that story is about the human aspect of it.
It's like them realizing, it's like them realizing like something's wrong with the, you know, this reactor, and there's a meltdown, and, you know, there's like just secrets about this. And then it's like, oh wait, there's this, you know, giant monster that, you know, loves radiation. And then there's bugs with these Mewtwo's or Mewtwo's that
those are weird. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know much about, but they're here, and there's a, you know, giant lizard that's fighting them in, you know, from Hawaii and then to San Francisco and Vegas too. So it's, you know, it is interesting to just compare a movie where it's again an introduction, where, and again, I think, you know, intro movies are definitely usually the best ones, where it's like, here's an intro to Kong,
yeah,
intro to Godzilla, where I really do like a lot of parts of King of the Monsters, but only the part where it's just the monsters.
I love the, and I think I rewatched it when we were getting ready to go see Minus One, but after he gets nuked,
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking through the city and all the power lines and buildings are just melting all around him because he's just dripping with radiation. Yeah. That is like hands down one of the coolest Godzilla moments of all time.
He's got the United States nuclear juice in him.
Holy moly. And then he's got the planes flying next to him too.
Yeah. I really did like Godzilla versus Kong though.
I did too. That was good.
You know, because it's sort of like a great battle movie, and then it was cool to. I know not everyone will agree, but it was cool to see them partner up, even though they weren't like, oh, we're all cool. Like, you know, it's just like, all right, we're going to go our separate ways. But, and again, it's sort of like we see them up here on Earth. On the surface, and Godzilla's like, bro, you're in my way. I'm going to run through you. Like, why are you here? Like, and it's just because Godzilla didn't know who the threat was until he saw
he
Kong,
just felt it, yeah.
And it was just like, oh, it's you again. Okay. Like,
but from another country.
Yeah.
You're forgetting that.
Yeah.
He's like, you son of a... Oh, dude, that Egypt scene was just so crazy. Because Kong's like, dude, chill. Look, there's a giant. I need you to come with me.
Yeah, I was like, I need you to get down there. And it took Mothra to set the record straight. But, like, yeah, I don't... Obviously, it's hard to kind of just think about it right off the bat. But,
still fresh, too.
Yeah. And I'm sure I'm going to watch it again once it's, like, up for streaming, I'm sure, on like Max or something. But the ending felt a little rushed. I would have liked to have seen, if I'm being picky here, I would have liked to have seen more of Godzilla. I would like to have seen him like have a little bit more one-on-one, like 1v1 action against
Shimu,
the Scar King, or to with both, because it's sort of like if the Scar King was put there by Godzilla, it seems like they've got some unfinished business. Let them duke it out for a bit, you know. Let which they kind of were, but like I wanted more. I wanted Godzilla to like literally just like start like wrestling him and just, you know, tossing, even like getting a good like scratch on him, like wounding him or something like that, you know, because it's like, oh, you want to hit me with the whip? Cool, I'm a grab it in my mouth, I'm gonna break it, you know, your stupid little whip toy,
stupid idiot.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's cute.
Yeah, you know, nice toy. And I mean, it was cool when Kong threw Scar King and Godzilla just like turns around and just like
just.
Completely
hit
like hits him
like
a baseball,
bat,
yeah, yep. And just like knocks him across the city. So that's again, that's me like nitpicking just to see, to hopefully have seen more Godzilla, because some of those monster scenes were obviously like very, like Godzilla just does quick work.
Listen,
man's not there to play around.
He
he's
is
like,
the
I'm here to win,
champion of the surface.
Yeah, he has, you know, he it's like. Seems like, well, he lost against Ghidorah. I'm like, well, the human interference made him lose against Ghidorah. Let's just be real here.
And also, Ghidorah's from space. Like, you know, let's think about that. Okay.
He can fly.
Godzilla is an earthly.
Yeah, it's like saying, like, look, when Godzilla had Ghidorah underwater, like, Ghidorah was like, I'm screwed. You know, that would have been the key to you know, if the humans really wanted to help, like, hey, let's just help drown this three-headed dragon.
Three-headed space dragon.
This space monster, yeah. Like, hey, maybe they'll bring in Space Godzilla. Who knows, you know?
Now we're talking.
Because, again, like, you know, maybe they need to have another Titan alliance to defeat whatever the next threat is. That's got to cause, like, some, you know, weird stabilization, because...
Team up for one last fight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like, because how do you really go from here and make some sort of plot that makes sense, that's not just too much, or it's not overly cheesy? Like,
honestly, I feel like what you said earlier, I feel like you can just do Monarch and just, you can just do the mapping of, Hollow Earth alone. You know what I mean? And that could be something. Because in the show Monarch, they didn't even go to Hollow Earth. They went to Access Mundi.
Yeah.
Which is...
not quite Hollow Earth.
Yeah, not quite all the way there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go to Hollow Earth, or you even go back to Access Mundi. I mean,
yeah.
we barely got anything there.
Very true.
And, you know, like the show did a perfect job of, and then have Kong cameo every now and again. You know, a couple times throughout the season, you see him walk by.
Yeah.
I would be happy. Be like, oh my God, it's Kong.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think they could.
My boy's still there.
There's definitely a lot they could still do for the show wise. I would probably give it like an 88, 89, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't quite know if it's like 90 plus. I really did enjoy it though. And I know
it was good fun.
It was shorter than GVK though.
I felt the runtime was honestly like perfect for this. It wasn't bad and
it was
good pacing too.
Yeah, there was unless like until the end though. But
yeah, then it just covered a lot of ground.
It was like Edward, all right, cheers, bye, done.
It's like oh, huh?
Godzilla is going back to
the Colosseum,
and I thought that was very fitting.
He's a king.
Yeah, he's like, I'm the gladiator on the surface.
That was cool that at the end of the movie, he like goes back.
And that also confirms that Godzilla is now Italian. As an Italian, I can say we've recruited him. So I'm glad he's a protector of Italy, even though he kind of screwed up part of
he
Rome.
He kind of
devastated. And that's the other thing. It's like the monsters fighting, like... who knows, dude, how many people have died?
Millions. Like, it's so... millions of people died alone in Rio.
Yeah. Because it's like in GVK, because I think they were in China. And it was like, there was this huge...
Hong Kong, yeah.
Yeah, there were like this huge, you know, there was like I think it was the Monarch Relief or something like that.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like they're trying... Same thing that happened in like San Francisco, right? Afterwards, and it's like there's just this relief to try and like help everyone that died because of the monster conflict. But it's like, man, like they don't ever really tell you how many numbers are, which I think is probably a good thing, because it's like you could just kind of theorize there's a lot of people like that have died from this, but
yeah,
we're not going to just put a number on it in the movie's sake, because that takes away from it. Like, we're not dumb. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I definitely think it's worth watching, and
at least once.
Yeah.
I mean, just go watch giant monsters fight.
Yeah. What'd you think of the CGI?
CGI was good.
Yeah.
There was nothing bad in it.
No, which is crazy, because the majority of this movie is based on CGI.
You know what's crazy is it had a budget two and a half times less than The Flash. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
And it looks night and day better.
Yeah, for a movie that heavily relies on CGI,
it
for its main protagonist and antagonists,
and environment,
the entire landscape,
it really makes you think.
What are these people doing? And
what are they spending the money on?
Right,
because Minus One looked, I mean, we know, incredible. Yeah. Won an Oscar, and it was about $13 million. Yet. You know, Avengers movies have gotten up to 200, 300 million. Flash was apparently over 300 million. So it's insane. Like, where is it going?
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing with that money? Like,
that just makes you question, like, why are these movie stars getting paid that much money?
Oh, it's even just that's like but it's like the quality too. Like or quantity versus quality. Like, here, we're going to spend all this money, but like, we're going to give you, look at Ant-Man 3. You know?
Yeah, man. I mean, but there were parts of that where, like, the environment of the quantum realm was like, whoa. And then you place someone over here and you're like,
That looks weird.
That looks weird. Same thing with, I'm not going to say a name, but our next episode podcast, I'm sure, where there's just bad CGI. In some parts. And then for me, once I notice that's all I see.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. We saw it on Dolby, so we saw it on a very good screen. So it's like, if there was something that was going to look bad, we would have noticed it.
And it looked really good across the board, especially the scene whenever they're actually traveling to.
Oh, dude, that was so cool.
Yeah, that was a really cool scene because we've seen it a little bit, but we never saw it that much in detail.
Yeah.
And it does not look pleasant.
No. Chopper's like, don't swallow your tongue to Bernie. And he's like giving him the thumbs up and he's just like, it's all shaking. Like,
yeah. That. And then they get in there like, like, good?
Yeah.
And he's just holding himself.
Yeah.
He was an awesome part of the movie. Him, this, and the last one too.
Yeah, it was nice. Like, it was a good amount of comedic relief. You know,
it wasn't overly done or forced. It was perfect.
No, not at all. You know, so yeah, it was, you know, some, and it was kind of cool to see more about Dr. Andrews and Trapper having a little bit of a past life together.
Yep. In college.
And, you know, so it's not like there was this awkward, like, they hate each other type of, you know, feeling, which I think happens sometimes in movies. Like,
it's like, yeah, they're forced to be together. Oh, man.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, and then they, like, you know, she loves this kid and it's, you know, she's afraid to lose her because she's become so, you know, attached to her, like, she you know, loves Gia, so it's like she doesn't want to give her up, but she kind of felt like she might have to. So she's like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, you are my home, like, mm-hmm. you know. So, but yeah, we'll have to see where it goes, you know. I wonder how long it would take for another movie to happen. But here's my question. If we get another movie, would you want to see Adam Wingard do that one as well, or have it be a completely different person?
I think if you're going to put an end to a saga, you need to have the same guy who started it or who understands it.
Yeah.
Finish it.
I agree.
If you're going to just say, all right, this is the end of MonsterVerse, great. It makes sense.
Yeah.
That's fine. We can do that. And then you want to do some reboot of some kind? Cool. That's fine, too.
Sure.
Just give us a couple years.
Yeah. I think if they make a sixth movie, I think I would like to see Adam Wingard come back. He finishes it. He's basically done a trilogy at that point.
Yep, done.
You know? And then you could be like, look, see what happens when you have the same guy direct a trilogy?
But I think I remember him saying, he was like, this was a Godzilla that I inherited, basically. So this third one, talking about New Empire, I got to design the Godzilla how I really wanted to.
Yeah.
So imagine if he just rebooted and did a like a minus one where it's a one and done kind of, you know, just a movie.
I mean, he could be
different.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, again, I think there's quite a few possibilities that could happen here. And yeah, hopefully we don't have to wait too long before we get some sort of news. Whether it's, I mean, I honestly could see it somewhere being up to a year, you know, but hopefully not.
They were quick to green light this one after
GBK. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. We'll give it like a week or two. We'll see what happens, you know, and,
hopefully get some news.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have something to report. So, but, I think that about does it, you know, without,
I think, that's all we got. That's all I got.
Yeah. Yeah. I think most of it's still fresh, but go see it. Go see it once at least, I'd say.
For sure.
And
let us know your thoughts.
Yeah. Let us know if you liked it, where it maybe fits in your MonsterVerse rankings or ratings. And, you know, we'll talk back to you.
Yeah, just hit us up on Twitter. Yep. I mean, whatever it's called now.
Twitter X.
And we always have a good debate. But yeah, let us know what villains you would like to see Godzilla face next.
Yeah,
other creatures or
what other titans whatever. Or kaijus would you like to see in the MonsterVerse? So
just hit us up. You know where to find us.
Yep. So that'll do it for us. Stay tuned for some other content coming in the next few weeks here on the plot stretch back.